finally slipping into their own berths. Grant gave them enough time to fall asleep, then crawled out of his bunk as quietly as he could and swiftly stripped off his bodysuit and pulled a fresh pair from the storage bin in the common area. Wide awake, knowing that he wouldn't be able to sleep, he slid the screen open and floated into the bridge. Krebs was sleeping, bobbing gently up near the overhead, eyes closed, a soft burbling noise that might have been a snore in normal air emanating from her half-open mouth. And she was still connected to the ship. Grant saw that the wires from the overhead compartment were still firmly linked to the electrodes in her chunky, hairless legs. "She sleeps connected," Grant said to himself, wondering what that must be like. Then he wondered if that was a good thing. "Is she addicted to it?" he asked himself. "Is that the joy she gets out of life?" One by one, Muzorawa, Karlstad, and O'Hara returned to the bridge, almost like sleepwalkers, and took their stations at their consoles. Krebs still snored gently, bobbing up near the overhead. Grant slipped his feet into the floor loops and saw that his console was showing all systems normal, nothing but green lights. He ran a finger across the console's central touchscreen to check the subsystems. He frowned, slightly nettled at the cumbersomeness of the manual procedure. "If we were linked, I could feel all the systems. I'd know how they're doing with my eyes closed." But they would not engage the linkage unless Krebs gave the command, and she was still asleep, floating behind the four of them. "Well, at least we know she sleeps," Karlstad Stage whispered. "That's good," O'Hara whispered back. "Everyone needs to sleep sometime." "You are eager to work?" Krebs' cold, hard voice slashed at them. "Good." Karlstad rolled his eyes toward heaven. "Connect your linkages," Krebs commanded. Grant linked up smoothly this time, actually finishing before Karlstad. He felt a glow of anticipation warming him, saw that O'Hara looked the same way. "Engage linkage," said Krebs. Again, Grant felt the power of the fusion generator surging through him, felt the music of electrical currents racing through every section of the ship. "The thrusters," he begged silently. "Ignite the thrusters." Instead, Krebs patiently checked through the navigation system, waiting to reach the precise point in their orbit around Jupiter's massive bulk, where they were to insert the ship into its deorbit burn and plunge toward the hurtling, multi-hued Jovian clouds. "Approaching the keyhole," Muzorawa called out. Without asking permission, Grant closed his eyes and linked momentarily to Zeb's sensors and saw what they were showing. The racing, multi-hued clouds of Jupiter streaming madly as the planet's tremendous spin whirled them into long ribbons of ochre, pale blue, and russet brown. Lightning flickered through the clouds, crackles of vast electrical energy. He felt the heat radiating up from those clouds. He heard the eternal wailing of winds that dwarfed the wildest hurricanes of Earth. And he realized that there was a storm, a vast, swirling whirlpool of dazzling white clouds screaming its fury in the area where they had expected to make their entry into the cloud deck. "The entry area is covered with a cyclonic system," Muzorawa said tightly. Grant opened his eyes. Zeb's face was set in an expressionless mask. Turning, he saw that O'Hara and Karlstad both looked concerned. Krebs made a sound that might have been a grunt or a suppressed growl. "Very well. We'll go on to the alternate injection point." Grant glanced up at the main wall screen display. It showed their orbital path against the swirling clouds. The alternate entry position was a quarter orbit away, closer to the red spot, Grant saw. Not close enough to be dangerous, he knew. Still, getting closer to that titanic storm was unsettling. No one spoke for the 49 minutes it took to reach the alternate insertion point. Grant occupied himself by concentrating on the fusion generator. It was like standing by a warming, crackling fireplace on a cold winter's day. "Soon we'll be in the clouds," he told himself, "and then the ocean. That's when we'll see how accurate my mapping of the currents has been." Automated countdown, Krebs called out at last. Grant unconsciously licked his lips as the countdown timer began clicking off the seconds. The taste in his mouth was odd, not unpleasant, but the perfluorocarbon liquid was unlike anything his taste buds had encountered in the past. He had no memory references for it down at the cellular level where instinct lived. Retro burn in 10 seconds, the computer's synthesized voice called out. Despite himself, Grant trembled inwardly with the anticipation of the thruster's power. The thrusters blazed to life. Grant felt their strength surging through him like a tidal wave, smashing down seawalls, trees, buildings, leveling hills, tearing away everything in its path. He gritted his teeth, fighting with every atom of his willpower against giving way to it. He was strong, so powerful that he could tear the ship apart with his bare hands. Eyes squeezed shut, he could see the blazing plasma hurtling from the thrusters, feel the energy streaming from the fusion generator as if it were his own arms, his own muscles driving the ship deep into the clouds of Jupiter, down into the unknown, beyond the reach of help or the understanding of the pitiful, frail, two-legged apes clinging to the cockleshell station in orbit around Jupiter. Outside, wind began to howl and shriek, as if protesting their entry into the atmosphere. Grant laughed inwardly. Come on, do your damnedest, he challenged Jupiter. The power of the ship's thrusters was his own might, his own body standing against the fury of this alien world's resistance. The ship staggered and bucked, but it kept its course, driving steadily deeper into the wild tangle of clouds. Grant felt like a pitiless conqueror forcing himself into a violently struggling woman. He was raping Jupiter, and no matter how the planet resisted, he was too powerful, too ruthless, too driven to show mercy or restraint. Abruptly, the thrusters shut off. Grant felt it like a blow to his groin. He gasped. He almost retched. For an endless moment, he stood swaying in his foot straps, arms floating before him, hands clenched into fists. He was aghast at his own thoughts, his own emotions. Guilt, shame, terror at the primitive savagery buried within him racked his soul. He could hear the wind shrieking louder as the ship's furious, howling plunge through the deep Jovian atmosphere continued. He could feel the ship's outer skin glowing with the white heat of friction. They were falling through the deep atmosphere now, dragged down by Jupiter's powerful gravity, no longer conquerors, but humble servants obedient to the planet's massive pull. Forcing his eyes open, Grant looked across at the screens of Muzarawa's sensor console and saw that they were plunging through a maelstrom of swirling clouds. Zeb himself stood transfixed before the screens, eyes staring, fists clenched at his sides, body rigid. Tentatively, furtively, without orders, he again linked with Zeb's sensors and suddenly felt the blazing heat of their hypersonic entry into those thick, turbulent clouds. The ship was shuddering now, bucking like a pumpkin seed in a hurricane as it plunged deeper into the Jovian atmosphere, turning the tortured clouds around it into white-hot plasma, a howling, shrieking sheath of burning gases surrounding them, trailing back in their wake like a long, glowing tail of a falling star. Grant wanted to shout defiance at the burning gases that sheathed the ship. You can't hurt us, he snarled silently. You can't do anything except what we want you to do, he told the giant planet. We're using you, using your thick blanket of atmosphere to slow us down enough to enter your sea and learn your secrets. Jupiter thought otherwise. The ship lurched, plunged, slewed sideways as a tremendous jet stream buffeted it. Grant swayed, tottered, his stomach going hollow within him. He would have sailed across the bridge if he hadn't been anchored by the floor loops. As it was, he had to brace his hands against the console to prevent himself from being slammed into it. The ship slowed. Grant recovered his balance, glanced around and saw that no one had noticed his near frenzy. Or if they had,